Quinn floated on a dark ocean, unconscious of anything. Then, by slow degrees, she became aware of herself. There was light coming from somewhere, blue-tinted and dim. She was lying down, and the surface beneath her was hard and uneven and cold. Someone was there. A warm touch on her lips, so soft and fast, she wondered if she'd imagined it. Noise surrounded her, a sound like a distant deluge of rain, but much too fast as the breeze across her face. She remembered. She and Shinobu had gone there, but she was losing herself, and he was begging her for help. She had to claw her way back to him, right now. Quinn sucked in a lungful of air and lunged to her feet. "Take me out, Shinobu," she said. "Carve an anomaly." Her voice was slow and rusty, and she was no longer there. A moment ago, there had been the glow of a lantern and Shinobu's dark form in front of her, and beyond that, the deepest blackness. They'd discovered that the Middle Dread had been turning seekers against each other for hundreds of years, while keeping himself blameless in the eyes of the other Dreads by getting others to do the actual killing for him. Quinn and Shinobu had gone there to find whatever the Middle had been using to sow discord. But where was she now? Somewhere new. A cave, rough surfaces coloured by bluish illumination from an opening high up in one of the walls. The light was changing, as though it came from a sky with fast shifting clouds. The noise was still there, far away and close, the sound of rushing water. She could see Shinobu's silhouette. He was here with her, wedged into a corner of the space, as confused as she was. Quinn stumbled toward him, discovered that her body wasn't working properly. The walls lurched and teetered, but it was her own muscles that weren't functioning. She recalled the old and middle Dreads closing in on her on the Scottish estate months ago. Their movements had been uneven, out of sync with the world around them, because they'd been lost in the hidden dimensions for years. She was like that now, buffeted by the stream of time.
"Shinobu, how long were we there?"
She laid her hands on the dark form in the corner. It turned toward her. Too fast. Everything was too fast. A face she didn't know, a young man towering over her, unruly hair and eyes that were dark in the cave's dim light. He was wearing a focal. His expression was wild. This person wasn't Shinobu at all, and he was reaching for Quinn.
"It's good you're awake."
He spoke so rapidly Quinn nearly missed the words. She had lost herself there when she was supposed to be keeping an eye on Shinobu. Had they run into this man? Had he taken Shinobu's focal and spirited Quinn away? She lurched backward, trying to pull herself properly into the world. Her hand found the knife at her waist.
"Shinobu?
Shinobu!"
Maybe he was nearby. The strange young man came for her, moving so much faster than she could move.
"It's all right," he said.
It was not all right. What had he done to them? How much time had passed? Quinn felt his hand grip her elbow. She wrenched free, drew her knife, slowly, too slowly. The walls moved by in fits and starts as she pushed herself away.
"Shinobu, are you here? Answer me."
The cave was small, more a widened channel through rock than an actual chamber. She blundered down the only route available.
"Stop! Stop!"
the stranger called, sounding both angry and afraid. The channel narrowed dramatically after only a few steps, but it then opened up again. Quinn squeezed through the tightest spot, moving as if in a dream, and found herself in another chamber. She heard him behind her at the narrow neck, too big to follow her easily. The noise was louder here, a thundering of water in the rocks, so rapid it was like hearing a recording on fast forward. There was less light. Quinn felt her way along the darkened channel for several yards, and the air around her changed, became moist as the noise drummed harder into her ears.
"I can't follow you," he called. "Please."
There was something awful, desperate in the way he said it.
"Shinobu, are you here?"
Her voice was still slow and heavy. The channel narrowed again, and now the floor beneath her was dark with water and the air full of mist. Quinn stepped around a sharp bend and found herself abruptly washed in early dawn light and staring directly down the face of a cliff. The channel had ended in open air, and her front foot hung several inches out over the ledge. Droplets festooned the atmosphere, dazzling her with rainbows. She was behind a waterfall, at the edge of a sheer drop, the cascade thrumming and reverberating as it launched itself over the craggy headland above her and out into the sky, where it plummeted down and down and down.